Hello. It's so lekker to see you guys. I've been missing you because I've normally just been seeing the guys in our comms. So it's so lekker to see the rest of the church that you're still here and you're looking really good. Yeah, when I saw you this afternoon, I was like, wow, we really miss you guys. And I think I know almost every one of you, some better than others. And yeah, it's just really encouraging. I was scared to come here, but I feel much better now. So thank you. So I want to start with a question to everybody. Why are you here? Why are we meeting like this? Not like this, you know why we're like this, but why are we meeting here? Why did you come to church? Why did you come? Did you come to hear a good preach? That might not turn out like that, so sorry. Did you come to get a touch of the Holy Spirit? Did you come to get wisdom, knowledge, get an answer to a decision? Did you come to get blessed, to worship together, to be improved in some way, to move from one degree of glory to the next? These are all good things. Did you come to get a goosebump moment, to get a good story? These are all good reasons. I'm not hitting any of them, I'm not knocking them. But can I suggest that this meeting can be an opportunity to grow more into what God has for you? I want to start with a verse, Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. How many of you know that you have a specific calling? Each of you have a calling. Not like, oh, Josh Jen has a calling. Yeah, God has a plan with Josh Jen. Each of you, he knows you each by name, and you have a specific calling. So this could be an opportunity to grow into more of that thing that God has for you, because God has what that for each of you. And ultimately, that would build his kingdom. That's why we're here. Sunday is the coming together of us to do that. If you can imagine a lot of small streams running through mountains, it's winter now, so it's really happening now, and we're actually enjoying paddling on those streams. But imagine all these mountain streams of water rushing, tiny streams, and then they join, and they become bigger and bigger. And eventually they hit the river, and it's a raging torrent going down. So much power, but it only happens because all the streams come together. So as we come together to meet like this, that is the kind of picture I'm trying to create. So my hope is that at the end of this, the next 20 minutes, you'll be excited about that calling, about the thing that God has given you, and how you can contribute that, how you can play your part in the body. Because God has a very specific part for you to play, and we need you. You have value. Each one of you have value. And maybe some of you don't know what that is. You know, it's great to work those things out in accountability, but each one of you has value. You matter, and it's important to be here, and we miss you if you're not here. Obviously, you're here because you're hearing me right now, but I want you to know that that's important. Ephesians 4, verse 16 explains this very well. It's the same letter that Paul wrote. And it says, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. So you're supposed to fit perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Often we get congregations that are walking with a bit of a limp or something wrong, because the whole body is not working well, because the people that's supposed to bring their part is not doing that. And we need every part to do that. That's the way God has put us together. That's why we want his bride, and he's here for a perfect bride. So can I get John 6, verse 3, from 3? Yeah, okay. So I want to read this. Read this story. I think you've all heard this at least once before, but I want to read it again. Firstly, because it's good to read scripture in church, so you can hear the word firsthand. And secondly, because I believe God is telling us something very important in this part. Okay, from verse 3. Then Jesus went up into the hills and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly the time for the annual Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a great crowd of people climbing the hill, looking for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? As if Jesus didn't know, okay? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, it would take a small fortune to feed them. You can see Philip is an administrator. He's thinking logistically, thinking about the logic of this. This, like 15,000 people, it would take a small fortune to feed them. It's obvious. And often we look at that in life like, no, forget it. It's not going to happen. It would take a small fortune to make this happen. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And then he disqualifies it. Then he says, but what good is that with such a huge crowd? I'm guessing that lots of people brought some fish and loaves. Lots of people had a snack or something. But that boy is the only one that actually did this with it. Some of those disciples probably had some stash. Okay. Jesus goes, tell everyone to sit down. So all of them, the men alone, numbered 5,000, sat down on the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and passed them out to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate until they were full. Now gather the leftovers, Jesus told his disciples, so that nothing is wasted. There were only 5 barley loaves to start with, but 12 baskets were filled with the pieces of bread, which the people did not eat. Let's just think about that event. So the boy brought what he had. Maybe it wasn't even his. Maybe his mom packed it for him, most likely. And he thought, okay, childlike faith, I'll bring this. How often do we have something and we think, nah, it won't work, it won't help, it won't be enough. Because those weren't enough. But for Jesus, it's enough. So the boy played the part that Jesus wanted him to play. It didn't appear to be much, but Jesus did what he was supposed to do. And then it was perfect. And we still read of that 2,000 years later, of that event. And one of the key messages of that is that boy played his part. Imagine if that boy just, I'm going to go fishing. Or, I'm going to watch online. You know? You may think that what you have isn't much to give. But just take a chance, give it to Jesus, and see what he can do with that. Because it's not about how much we have, it's how much of that you give and make available to Jesus. Each of us, each of you, can be that person. And by giving whatever you have, that gifting or that thing, according to the calling that God has given you, you can touch lives. I'm looking tonight at people playing a role here. I mean, before the meeting, Nikki came to me and he said, do you need help in this evening? What did he say? He said, I'll even pretend to be a little fish, you know? Basically, he's saying, whatever you want, I can help you. Okay, that's the kind of wind you need in your sails, you know? Paul is here, he's on AV again. You know, Malcolm, these guys are using their gifting with the stuff God has given them. They're being faithful with it, and they're saying, here, use it as you want. So I want to commend all of you, and also for you guys being here, because you could have just watched church this morning and been okay, but no, you made the effort to come here, so I want to commend you on that. You are playing a part in the body, so well done for that. The least of us can break things open. The Bible is full of seemingly insignificant people that did amazing things for God. I wanted to show you guys this. If you think about people, the people in the Bible that God used, think about Noah, okay? Drinking problem. Abraham, really old. Jacob was a deceiver and a liar. Leah thought she was ugly. She didn't want to do anything, okay? Joseph was abused. Moses was a stutterer. But he was used powerfully. Gideon was too afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah, Timothy, Josiah, all way too young. God used them. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah tried to run away. God still used him. Job was completely bankrupt at some point. I can go on. Peter denied Christ completely. The Samaritan woman was divorced and it was a taboo completely. Nobody wanted to speak to her. Zacchaeus was way too small. Lazarus was dead. So don't tell me your gifting is not big enough to be used. Yeah, there's hope for you. You are precious. You're an important part. A healthy church, according to Jesus, is not one where there's a good preach, lots of people, excellent worship, good admin running. Those are all good things. But the definition of a healthy church with good leadership is where each person is being led into the things that God has for that person, and that they bring it together to form part of that body, for that body to operate properly. If you're considering a church to go to, ask that question. Because as leaders, we have a responsibility before God to lead you into the things that God has for you. And if your congregation, your church doesn't do that, we're slipping up. We need to be doing that. That's our job. Your job is to bring that gifting by each part doing his work. Because if we're all going for the things that God has for us, we're going in the same direction because we're the same body. And if we have that same vision, same direction, we have the same vision, we have unity. Just being together like this, that's not really unity. Going somewhere together with the same vision, that's unity. Like we'll preach this morning, but like he often said, if you take two cats and you tie them together by the tail and you hang them over a washing line, they're together, but they're definitely not in unity. You can imagine what happens there. So that's not enough to just be together. As leaders, we must pursue what God has for us. And our job is to see, okay, Lord, you're taking us as a body, you're taking us there. Our job is to show you where that is and saying, come with us, we're going to go there. And together we can do that. What that means is if you know that the leader's job is to get you to that place and to grow into what God has for you, because that links to your inheritance, right? So if you know that you play a role in this family and that God has a specific plan for you here, will you ever miss a meeting? Because you might miss that one thing that will unlock something that God has for you. If you know that the way what you have to live out and God has a plan for you to move from one degree of glory and holiness to the next, if you know that God has that plan for you, and you're progressing in that, would you want to mess around with sin? You wouldn't need somebody to tell you, hey guys, be careful. You'd go like, I don't want to go anywhere near that thing because it might mess up the plans God has for me. I don't want to do that. So nobody would even have to like go, be careful of this and that. It's always good to get good advice. Don't get me wrong. It's good to be accountable. That's how we learn, because we deceive ourselves, me more than most. But still, how will you feel about making or missing a meeting if you know that you're getting this has to be walked out? That's if you get that, the thing of God has a plan for me, there's an inheritance for me. And in this congregation, that's going to get walked out. You'd want to be here all the time. If there's any meeting, you will be here. You will not sit online and listen, because it can happen, yeah. What if the boy and the fishes and bread didn't show up? You know, imagine Jesus told God and the Holy Spirit, yeah, I'm not going to play my part. I'm not going to come down to earth, step into time, do my part. Imagine if you didn't do that. So the reason I'm in Josh Jen is because I'm being taken somewhere with the leadership and Andrew. I'm being taken from one step to the next step if I play my part, as every part plays its part. And there's an inheritance for us as a congregation, as a body, as a family, if we do that. So we need every saint. We need every one of you to do that, every part of the body. Otherwise, we will not achieve it. I think maybe in some places we've wasted time, but if we don't all play our part, the body won't be perfect. Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride, not one without one of the eyes or something. Paul paints that picture about the bride and us working together as a body. So you may ask, so what is my role? I'm maybe not feeling that special. What can I walk into? For every person, that's different. But none is less or more important. Don't ever think that. That is an absolute lie. None is less or more important. All of them are important. The Bible is very clear about that. And as you are accountable to people in your home groups, the people over you in leadership, walk those things out. Ask them, what am I gifting? What can I bring? And have that relationship where you can work that out, because that's God's heart for you. He can't wait to see you walk in those things. And we need you to. Look, we are called to impact this area. We are called to walk into maturity in Christ. We are called to become effective in our giftings. Yes, we're here to reach the lost, to make disciples, and to then, once they're disciples, to help every saint to become faithful in their own area, all for the kingdom of God. We are called to become a pure and whole bride. And we are called to receive in our inheritance. I'm not talking about reward. Paul speaks about reward as well. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about inheritance, the thing that God has for us in terms of responsibility and blessing to walk out into. Like if you think about the inheritance that Isaac and Jacob, Jacob was after his father's inheritance. And he actually deceived to get that. But God said, Esau I hated, Jacob I loved, because Esau despised his inheritance. Not his final reward, but he despised his inheritance. Let's go after our inheritance. Let's one day hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with that. So let's always ask, as we come to a meeting, why are we here? What's the purpose of this meeting? What's the purpose of this congregation? What does God want us to do? What does God have for us? Can we commit as a congregation to that? As saints, as individuals, and together as a bride, that we will play our part, that every person will play our part. Is that okay? What do you guys think? Good news. Excellent. Yeah, let's just grow towards the wonderful things God has for us. Because if we step out in His ways, the sky is the limit. Not even, the sky isn't the limit. Because God made that. From my personal experience, when I got saved, I was like, I heard Andrew say, God will exceed your wildest dreams. And I was very cheeky. I was like, okay, Lord, what's my wildest dreams? And I had a few things listed. I'm like, I dare you to exceed them, you know. He has exceeded them so far. Like, so far. It's ridiculous. God definitely has a sense of humor. So I want to invite you to that. I want to invite you to step out in this and play your part in this body. Amen.